We have been listening through the messages of Paul to the Church of Ephesians for the last two Sundays. Two Sundays before, we talked about our unity. Paul used three metaphors: citizens, family of God, and the temple of God. He gave those metaphors in the light of how everyone who is in the church are same, are one in Christ, whether they are Gentiles or Jews. And we apply that to our church, even though we are from different, we are all from, most of us are from India, but then we speak different languages, there are differences among us. In many, many ways, which is okay. But then as God's people, we have to find this unity in Christ. And Paul is kind of obsessed with this idea of church people coming together and staying together as one people of God. And last Sunday we talked about how can we be the faithful servants of God. How can we become faithful servants of God? There are many, many things Paul told, and we listed them. At least seven of them, I believe. What are the things that we could pay attention to stay faithful to his calling? Today, Paul continues that. Continues the idea. And he is calling that living up to our calling. Living up to our calling. In the first three chapters, he was talking about what is our calling, who are we in Christ, how Christ brought us together. And then now he says, living up to our calling. It also builds towards that one idea. We are united in Christ. Now, this unity, the word unity, it has to be correctly understood. Unity, this is not something that we can pretend. This is an environment. Something. Someone called it, unity is a product of what we believe, how we practice things. If our calling is unity, unity is not building up, just talking about unity, what are the things you should do to have unity, but it comes through our lifestyle, our practice. I think unity we have in Christ is part of the grand design of God. Church must be united. Church should have unity. There is no second guessing. There is no other way. There is no plan B with God. If you are people in the church, sin is a disruptive force. It always divides, it separates us, it splinters. Sin has that capacity. So if you can define sin as that which separates, you define salvation, which is something that unites. If sin is separation, salvation is unity in Christ. So Paul talks about four things here. He says, first, we must continually seek to understand our calling. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. Then before that, in some of the Bible, it would say, therefore, or then, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you. That's what the NIV verse says. And if you see KJV or some other verses, it says, therefore. So he has already given in the first three chapters, who are we in Christ, how we could be united, how we should not have any divisions among the church. Therefore, he said, therefore we must be willing to live a life worthy of our calling. Understanding our calling is important. We can understand our calling only when we know what has Christ asked us. This is, unity is kind of an organic thing. You know, organism. It's not an organization. You know, we all call ourselves Asian Indian Christian Church members. That doesn't make us united. What makes us united is that as molecules of an organism, we all work together. And Paul elsewhere will talk about it as a body of Jesus Christ. You know, my hands and my eyes and, you know, my legs and every part of my body, everything cooperates to get some desired effect. So that is unity. Our church is not a collection of some individuals and families. We are all one organism. So somebody hurts, everybody hurts. Somebody is joyful, everybody joyful. Somebody, you know, we have to feed every part of the body. Second, we must be willing to suffer for Christ. Last week also we talked about this suffering. And suffering is a topic that we want to avoid. But Paul clearly says, when we follow Christ and when we live according to his rules, there is going to be suffering. And he says, as a prisoner, Paul, he says, I'm in prison. I'm gladly in prison. You know why? Because that promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I preach the gospel of Christ, I am in prison. That suffering. It almost feels like suffering for righteousness is a litmus test for our salvation. If we want to avoid suffering at all cost, we'll also avoid suffering for Christ. We will not do the right thing if there is going to be some suffering. Suffering for the sake of unity in the body of Christ is living worthy of his calling. Perseverance, that is another word that we hear in Christian circles. Perseverance means to keep on, keep going, in spite of things not turning out very well. So perseverance is a hallmark of Christianity. Paul persevered. He could have just gone back to his former life. When the Bible talks about suffering, it's like these verses are like sandpaper for in our modern sentiments. It rubs, it irritates us. We naturally try to avoid suffering. But God sometimes brings suffering in our lives for the sake of our eternal joy. Paul says, you know, in the first century, people who were persecuted, they were always joyful. These people who persecute them, they were wonderstruck. They were very surprised. And they asked, many of them, you are going to be killed. Why are you smiling? And they said, you know, I'm smiling because Christ considered me worthy of suffering for his name. That is what Paul is talking about here, worthy of his calling. I'm not saying that you go and look for suffering somewhere, you know, so that I can also say I suffered. No. But if you're doing the right thing, if for Christ, if you're taking a stand, You know, the suffering will come from your friends, your family, and everybody. It will come. There will be, if you take a stand, if for the right cause, for righteousness' sake. And then Paul says, we must also practice, in order to live worthy of his calling, we must practice godly character. And he lists four of them here in this chapter, in these verses. Humility. Humility always begins the list of Christian virtues. You know, it's not only Christian virtues. In those days, the Greeks, they had a list of virtues, you know, that you should practice. You know what? And others, they had virtues. No one had humility as a virtue. Humility was not a virtue. You know, it doesn't bode well in your resume. Humility, I'm a humble person, you know. We cannot do business with you, you know. But only in Christian, and Paul brings it for the first time. Humility as a virtue. How did Paul know? Paul was a very proud man. He was very proud about what he believed in the Jewish God, right? And he learned it in the hard way. What is humility? And he knew the joy of being humble, because he knows when he is humble, then he is strong, because there is someone who is willing to work with weak people. God's strength was available to him. We must practice godly character, humility, gentleness. Gentleness, again, like humility, does not refer to weakness, but a strength that is channeled, that is controlled for God's purpose, gentleness. You know, my first reaction, gentleness is not my first reaction. It is a well thought out reaction to any given situation. I'm still working on it. It's hard. Gentleness does not come naturally. Gentleness comes through Christ helping you, helping us. Patience is another one of his favorites. You know, God's people are patient with each other. We are patient with each other, but God is patient with us. What I experience, I share it with you. That should be the patience. And then it says forbearance, bearing with one another, or forbearance in love. Bearing with one another is not just, it's not a facade courtesy. You know, you smile outside, but inside you are seething with anger. That's not, you know, bearing with one another. That's not forbearance. Forbearance is truly means positive love. But positive love to those who irritate us. Anybody irritates us? Disturb us, embarrasses us. You will have all those people. They are good training ground for forbearance. It really means positive love. First Peter 4:8, Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over multitudes of sins. Finally, Paul comes to this point, which is running throughout the book of Ephesians. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, Ephesians 4:3-6. Unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We can read this passage and sit and meditate for hours together. But you know, there is a simple way. We have to just submit to God's Spirit, one Spirit. Paul says to keep the unity of the Spirit. What does that mean, keep? Because when we have invited the Spirit of God into our lives, when we invited Jesus into our Christ, the unity is given to you, because that is a Christian thing. So when you have invited Jesus, the unity has come into you. And we should not mess it up. Paul is saying, keep the unity of the Spirit. If the Spirit is in you, there is unity already. But don't harm the Spirit of God. So that's you have to pay attention to these words. It is a gift from God through His Son. Unity is the gift from God. So it is, we can all have it, the Spirit of unity. Making every effort to keep the peace is our calling, and it is worth pursuing. Right? And Paul says there is one body, one spirit. If you are thinking about ourselves, myself all the time, if I want to get all the attention, if I want people to always talk about me, that's not going to help unity. In the church, clearly said, by many places it says, think about the others. You know? Even when you are taking a decision, when you are talking, you think about others, preserving unity in the body of Christ, tantamount to walking worthy of Christ's calling. Live like an eagle, not as a chicken. We are eagles. We are God's children. We are God's children. We are going to have communion today. Come in union with God and unity among brothers and sisters. Communion, communion. There is only one reason, Christ's love, with which we are called to love each other. Christ is calling. Christ is calling. When we come here, that, you know, every month, once in a month, we come here and we observe communion to proclaim, you know, we are one with Christ and therefore we are one with everybody. Communion and community, they go hand in hand. And Paul emphasized that again and again through the book of Ephesians. And we have to really work hard and live worthy of this calling that God has called. We are a small church. But there are any number of temptations not to be united. But I am glad that our church is tasting this unity in Christ. There are signs that we are a united church. There may be some rough edges. We'll have to take care of them. Slowly. Means I'm not going to take care of your rough edge. I'm going to take care of my rough edge. Right? We have to take care of ourselves, and then everything will be okay. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for Paul's words and the challenge and the call to find unity. Lord, we are different people. Unity is not uniformity. To find that united love in diversity, I want to pray, Lord, you will make us the people who has found unity in you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Even as we are preparing for communion, I want us to sing the hymn, to prepare as a prayer because it is the Lord. Communion table, it's always the Lord. It's not the pastor. The pastor may be helping to distribute bread and drinks, but then it's Lord's invitation. I think we can all be seated in a prayerful mood and sing the song. Of course, you may have to look for the thing, but let us sing this hymn as a prayer. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Break thou the bread of life, O Lord, to me, that hid within my heart thy word may be. Mold thou each inward thought from self set free, and let my steps be all controlled by thee. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou did bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondages, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all.